Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Yeah, we did it finally.
Oh, good.
Dude.
What a relief.
Oh, my God. Stressful.
Yes.
Very stressful, dude. But the Sharks did it. They got the number one pick and the right to select Macklin Celebrini, although it's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
Macklin Celebrini on the broadcast with and we'll talk about that later. Dude, this is a massive moment in the future of this franchise, and it changes everything, dude. It changes how I think next year might go. It changes what type of coach this team is looking for. It might change what type of players this team are going after in the offseason.
Yeah.
This is massive in so many ways.
This guy's a game changer. This guy, is he as big of a top-end talent as Connor Bedard? I don't think so. He's not in that Sidney Crosby, Stamkos, McDavid tier. But everyone says this guy's a stud. He's a game changer. He plays at both ends of the ice. He's a natural centerman, which is great. You can never have enough great centermen. And I'm excited for the future of the Sharks. Let's hope the Sharks don't make some of those same mistakes that we've seen some of these other teams make when they get these high picks and they seem to stumble a little bit in surrounding them with the right people, although we'll talk about Edmonton a little bit later.
Right.
Edmonton through to the second round. But Mac Celebrini, they're going to call him Mac?
The Mac attack, dude.
Mac attack.
I was saying from the beginning, the Boston Bros,
yeah,
Will Smith and Mac attack. Dude, very exciting. 17 years old, won the Hobie Baker as a freshman. You know, 64 points in 38 games. The Sharks have the two best college players in their prospect pool. And the question is, dude, will they both be playing on the big club next year?
Only time will tell. You got guys that are young, right? You look at this guy on the broadcast, he looks like a little kid, right? You're going to put him up against some of these big, strong guys who've been pumping iron for years. They've been taking their licks in the corners. That kind of contact, that kind of opposition is going to be foreign to these two players. And the question is, how are they going to be able to deal with it? I don't know if the Sharks should just throw them in with their eyes closed. If they prove that they can do it and they have the skill and the tenacity to do it, great. And it sounds like that's the kind of thing that Greer's selecting for, as if there was really another option for Celebrini, right, when it comes around to draft day. But I certainly hope so. Let's put it that way. I hope so.
I think their futures next year are linked. I think they will either both sign GoPro. And listen, if Smith and Celebrini are signing their contracts, they are playing in San Jose. They are not playing, and for the big club, not the CUDA.
Right.
That's not happening, right? I just don't think that... I would rather see them both stay in college another year than sign and play for the CUDA. Like, I think that's a lose for the Sharks, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Especially given how terrible that team has been. Now, you put them on it, maybe they win the, you know, the AHL...
Calder Cup.
Calder Cup, but... You know, I don't know. I don't see how they both either don't come, like they stay in college one more year and the Sharks are bad again and try and get another top pick. Because, dude, if the Sharks just roll it back, right?
Yeah.
They just roll it back with basically the same roster with some different faces in and out. We could be in this same position again where the Sharks are picking in the top five again, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Or Do the Sharks bring them both in and do what the Blackhawks did this year with not a lot of success, right?
Yeah, let's be honest.
But they did attempt to surround them, Bedard specifically, with some gritty veteran players who have won at the highest level, and they didn't just throw them onto this roster with no other support. Right. That would be a mistake, and I think you're right, because there's going to be, fresh meat, when you throw them out there, right? They're going to be going for them, and you've got to build in a layer of protection around these guys.
They're going to have a target, right? Number one pick. I'm sure guys are going to want to take a crack at them, see if they're if the rumors are true or not. And let's be honest, I don't know if the Sharks are still probably not going to have a very good defensive core, right? I mean, it's not like one or two guys and all the forwards that we've talked about, except maybe Mook Medulin's on the team. But this is not going to be a great team next year.
No, and I don't think that we're looking for that to be the goal, right? But will they lose games 6-5 instead of 6-0?
That'd be nice.
With these two guys on the team? I think it's more likely that we're going to see some sparks offensively with these two creative young skill players on the roster. But I guess, it is an open-ended question that we don't really know the answer to, is will the Sharks bring these guys on the roster next year or not? And that's going to tell you a lot about what the offseason is going to look like, because they're two totally different paths, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. But certainly the future is looking a lot rosier for Sharks fans right now. It's great to see the reaction with the folks of the tank for the lottery party, and good to see Pat Verbeek be disappointed again.
That was funny.
Yeah. Micah barely cracked a smile when they won. He was so stone-faced. I was like, you see the GM of Chicago, he's like joking and laughing and hoping and all this kind of stuff, and then Greer wins, he's like, yeah, I'll be happy to.
Yeah, I think that's his personality.
It is. I just thought it was funny, though.
Yeah. I mean, he did throw in there that he's a Boston guy, right?
Yeah, he's a terrier. So sure. Not only a Boston guy, but a terrier, as Greer was.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it actually happened. And the other part of this that is, I don't think it can be understated, is that, while the kid on TV said his favorite team growing up was Vancouver, right? And I think he did live in Vancouver for a good part of his life. He has San Jose ties. He was a junior Shark. His dad works for the Golden State Warriors. Like, being in the Bay Area is not going to be like a new experience for him. Like, he knows what it's like here, right?
Sure.
And I think that he, to have somebody with that sort of local tie-in, while he's not like a Bay Area kid, that he has a Bay Area tie, that he has been part of the Bay Area community, is massive, because this team right now has nothing. Like, they just have nothing to hang their hats on, to promote, to like get excited about. And if you can go from nothing to two like fresh faced high skill level guys in Smith and Celebrini and Quentin Musty,
who had 100 points in the queue, I think.
That's pretty sweet. And when they trade this pick for Mitch Marner, dude,
please,
how excited will you be?
I will not be excited. I actually had a text conversation with a friend of a friend while I was watching the Toronto Boston Game 7, and he's in the Toronto area, and he is, let's just say, he's not a fan of Mitch Marner.
Right.
Not a fan.
So when we get to the 14th pick here in a moment, which we will likely also have, right?
I think we do.
We do get it.
That,
The Sharks have some decisions to make in terms of how they want to use that pick, right? Seems like this is a pretty deep draft in terms of defensemen. It'll be interesting to see what they decide to do. So, awesome. Good times, dude. And I don't know. I mean,
we buried the other big news, dude, since the last podcast. The Sharks are going to have a new coach.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
They fired David Quinn almost immediately after we podcasted. Oh, right. Okay. Oh, yeah, you're out. I guess those personal ties don't run that deep between Greer and Quinn.
It's interesting that, like, I heard someone's analysis basically say that, like, this was like a mercy killing. Like, I mean, like, for David Quinn, like, it was you know, almost doing him a favor to, like, you know, get rid of him. I don't know that I see it that way, but that was someone's take on it.
There's not a lot of those jobs. I don't think anybody wants to be fired from them. I don't think you get to this level as a coach without thinking that you can turn every program around. You're not like, ah, well, Sharks lost cause. I'm glad I got fired. I can find another job now. I can go be an assistant in, you know, wherever in Ontario.
Yeah. There was nothing like you couldn't. What could you say is the most positive thing about the David Quinn era?
They got the number one pick.
Okay. So then he did a great job and he did what he was supposed to do. And now it's time to go. I mean, I feel bad, but like there's nothing when you look back on this team and necessarily how they played or how they responded or any sort of aspect of the game that you're like, they really made some strides or I can see the blueprint for success in the future. I don't think it existed. So if you are going to bring in, I thought they were going to wait until this shook out.
Right.
You cannot bring Celebrini into that environment. You just can't.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see who they go with. You were not a big fan of the Ottawa choice.
No. The Ottawa... Ottawa hired Travis Green today, who got fired in Vancouver for being a sub-500 coach. And then he took over the Devils and had a worse winning percentage than Lindy Ruff, who got fired. And this guy got a 4-year deal to coach the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, what?
I don't get it at all. Like, and that is exactly the kind of hire I desperately don't want the Sharks to make. Please, like, don't make that kind of hire. Like, we don't need some sort of, retreaded NHL coach that was fired from another job, like, for underperforming. That's
Marco Sturm.
Well, dude, I texted you immediately when it happened.
Immediately.
And I said, I'm calling it, the next coach of the Sharks is going to be Marco Sturm. And let me tell you why. Marco Sturm's won Olympic medals for his work with the German national team. Marco Sturm is a veteran NHL assistant coach. I think at least 4 years with the Kings. It's on his second year behind the bench with the AHL version of the Kings, and they've been to the playoffs twice. He is a former Shark. Obviously, everybody knows that. I think that is super important right now, that the Sharks bring in somebody from the family that isn't just some rando. This is a beloved Shark from the good times. Like, we remember the good times.
Yes.
Remember Marco Sturm. Everybody loved Marco Sturm. He worked his ass off. He was also unwittingly a part of a major transition in the Sharks' history when he was traded for probably the greatest Shark ever.
Right.
And Joe Thornton.
Yes.
So, like, we appreciate his time and service and all of it. I think that would be massive for the fan base. And also, I think he might be a good coach.
Well, certainly looking at his AHL record and some of his other records, it seems like this guy's got the experience and he's not a retread, right? This is a guy who's taken the Ontario Reign, which is the Kings AHL affiliate. He's done very well with that team. So certainly the number one question I'm sure Greer's going to have is, how are you going to develop these players, right? How are you going to protect these players? How are you going to make sure that they grow into all-stars?
Right.
Right. Because there's going to be a little bit of push and pull here, right? A coach's job is to win the game that's tonight, right? Okay, we're playing the St. Louis Blues tomorrow. How are we going to win that game, right? That's sort of the number one job of a coach. But another big job, especially on this team, is how do we make sure that these guys are good players, not just tomorrow against the Blues, but next year and the year after that against the Blues, and they don't get hurt and they don't get discouraged and they are supported in all those ways you described earlier. That's going to be a really important job for this coach, and all prospective coaches better have a really good answer to that question.
I think Sturm has a lot of the same traits as Mike Greer as a player, which is why there's going to be a connection there. Greer was a gritty, defensive-minded third-line player who allowed you to have no space and time, and he was a physical player, not a dirty player, but he was really tough to play against. Marco Sturm had some offensive skill, but overall was just a really tough defensive-minded forward who was you know, nails on the kill and was an integral part of the team winning, maybe not always on the stat sheet, right? Like, I mean, he racked up some points some years.
He did.
But he wasn't like a 90-point player or something like that. That wasn't his deal. So, like, if the Sharks are looking to truly have this identity of being hard to play against, well, I think Marco Sturm was and knows how to maybe coach that kind of game.
Although, counterpoint. Right, there have been players that play that kind of game, and they don't seem to coach that kind of team. The one play, the one guy that really comes to mind is Craig Berube. Craig Berube was one of the toughest guys on the ice in whatever game he played throughout his entire career, and he did not have a team like that when he was in St. Louis, not at all.
Hmm.
And they didn't play like that, so it doesn't necessarily mean anything. But you know, not every single player coaches like he plays.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I thought Berube's teams had a little bit more of an edge than that, but like, I think it, that also goes with the roster construction too, right?
Like, of course, of course.
You have to take a real long look at this roster as these young players are coming in, and you cannot, the Sharks are going to have to flip the script here a little bit because they have not effectively found these types of players in their franchise history. Like, they have had some great ones. Scott Thornton comes to mind.
Sure.
Ryan Clough comes to mind. Douglas Murray. There are several.
Owen Nolan.
You know, Jeff Odgers. Like, those types of players that they were good hockey players. We're not talking about the Jody Shelleys of the world, right? Who have their own place in my heart and yours too. I know.
Absolutely.
Right?
100%.
I know. Right? But we're not talking about that.
That's their only job.
We're talking about, you know, we need our Matt Rempe. We need our Tom Wilson. We need our type of player. You need guys like that if you're going to have some young guys on the team who are, when they're out there, there's just not going to be any nonsense.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And you've got to figure out how to get some of those guys in and around the team. Right? That can be productive NHL players, not goons here, right? We don't need goons, but we do need that style of player. And the Sharks have had a really hard time finding that player.
Right?
They think they might have found it with Evander Kane, but he wasn't able to get his head right here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the search continues. It's a critical part of the roster that many teams have struggled to find that player. The Maple Leafs, the Oilers.
Yeah, yeah.
They are missing that, right?
God, the Maple Leafs.
Oh my God. Well, anyways, dude.
Can we talk about that for a while?
Sure.
Okay, good.
Dude, it's exciting. And I don't know. I kind of have a feeling I think they might both be here next year. This is just, I don't know, my own feeling right now.
That would be very exciting, but I would hate to see development stunted. But your question is a fair one, which is, are they really going to get developed better in the CUDA? And you know, signs point to no so far. So yeah.
It's going to be, I think it's both of them or neither of them. I think Smith and the Sharks have been waiting for this moment to see, and it wouldn't be surprising at all if they both declared they were going back to college on the same day, mm-hmm. or if they both showed up in San Jose and signed on the same day, that they were, and they're coming, right? And it's happening, and here we go, right? I mean, I almost said Marcel Koch. Marco Sturm, great candidate, dude. Let's throw out a couple others that I've heard. Okay, Craig Berube, you mentioned his name. I have no interest at all.
Yeah, right? Neither.
Just don't think that's the right idea. People floated a reunion with Todd McClellan.
That doesn't make sense either.
No sense at all. People have mentioned Jay Woodcroft. Many people have mentioned Jay Woodcroft.
That's a worse suggestion than, I think I'd rather have Todd McClellan.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. Like, why? Why? Jay Woodcroft completely flamed out in Edmonton.
Yeah.
With a lot of talent on that team.
Tons. Much more than the Sharks
that's
have.
That's not... Maybe he's a good coach. Listen, you know, dude, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's not, I don't think, no one's going to be excited about that at all. All right. Jeff Halpern, another name that we talked about 2 years ago before they hired David Quinn.
Jeff Halpern.
He has been a longtime assistant in Tampa Bay, has won cups in Tampa Bay, has never had a shot at being the big boss. He reportedly interviewed last time.
Well, I mean, I remember Jeff Halpern as a player when he played for the Caps. I mean, that's what I think of when you say Jeff Halpern. I have no idea how he is as a coach.
Right.
Sounds like he's paid his dues.
How about David Carl, University of Denver head coach?
You know, that's an interesting sort of philosophical question. Would you want to just go? Remember, I remember a few years ago, and this is another name that I heard on the list that I don't know, you probably don't feel that great about, and neither do I, Dave Haxtell, who was a famous, successful college coach, and the Flyers brought him in, never coached at the pro level. He coached, I think, University of North Dakota. The Flyers brought him in. Not a particularly good record with the Flyers. Didn't last that long. It wasn't like embarrassing, but it's not like he had some secret something.
Right.
So I am a little bit wary of a pure college coach coming in, although both of these guys are college players, and I'm sure the culture of college hockey is different than Canadian junior hockey. It's a totally different thing. When you're a Canadian junior hockey player, that's all you're doing.
Right.
That's your job, right? Right. Yeah, you technically go to school, and I'm using air quotes.
Sure.
To school. But honestly, you're just a professional hockey player, but you're just younger. College may be different, and maybe he can relate to these guys. So I don't know. Maybe there's something there. I have no idea.
No, I have no interest in Dave Haxtell. He just got basically...
No, what about Carl, though?
Haxtell got exiled from Seattle. He signed an extension, and they fired him because the players are basically, we don't want him here.
Oh, God.
So goodbye. Carl, dude, I mean, I wouldn't hate it, but it's not my first choice.
Is he related to Matt Carl?
He is.
Is he really?
I believe so.
Oh, wow.
I believe it is his brother.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So I don't know, dude. Well, let me throw another name out there that I think that we talked about initially as like, I'm not interested in that. But the more I thought about it, I was like, did this guy kind of get a raw deal? Dean Evason.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Boost Boudreaux.
No.
Dean Evason.
Dean Evason, dude, if you look at his record.
He's been in the league since 1970.
What?
I mean, the guy's, wasn't he like an assistant with the Sharks in like 1992? Was
Dean Evason was on the Sharks.
What am I missing? Am I?
He was a Sharks player in 1992.
But I thought he was like an assistant coach right after that.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
Well, I think the guy's in his 50s, dude. He's not that much older than us.
Okay. Give me the story on Dean Evason.
Okay,
maybe
well,
I
don't
confused
have the record,
him with someone
dude.
Else.
I don't have the record in front of me, but I looked. He got fired in Minnesota, right? He got fired this year in Minnesota. His record in Minnesota is not that bad, actually. They went through a terrible stretch, right? Their roster also isn't very good, right? Mm-hmm. They were in the playoffs last year. I wonder if Dean Evason got a little bit of a raw deal in Minnesota. His coaching style is described to be what Mike Greer is looking for. Not as exciting as Marco Sturm in terms of a Sharks connection, but there is a big Sharks connection there.
Okay.
Dean Evason, I wouldn't rule that one out
Okey-dokey.
At all, dude. And there was one other name that I was going to throw out there, but I can't remember what it is. And when I think of it, I'll just shout it.
Okay. Do you think the Sharks will hire a coach before the draft or after?
I think they're going to hire a coach before the draft.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're going to be able to get this thing. When's the draft? Like a month from now?
Yeah.
More than a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can wrap this thing up in 6 weeks, right?
I think they have to. I mean, because there's no mystery about who they're taking,
right? Yeah, what's
going
to happen, yeah.
So, I mean, I think that they know who is compatible with the direction that they're planning on going. And if they're thinking that these kids are going to come in right now and that they're going to have to go a certain way with the roster and they're going to have to take a look at certain types of players to come in right now, who's the right fit for that, you know? Or... if they're not bringing in the kids at all, then if that was the plan, then why do you fire David Quinn? Like, I think you would just keep him and let it be bad one more year. Because the coach is a big part of the free agent recruitment process. If you don't want to come and play for that coach, you're not going to sign.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's important.
That's true. Okay, here's a question. I don't know if this is done in the NBA, but it's much more of a player-centric league. Do you talk to, do you have Celebrini talk to coaching candidates to see if there's a good mesh?
No.
You don't?
I don't think you can.
Does the NBA do that?
Well, I'm sure that players who are under contract do, but they would have to wait. I mean, he's not on the team.
So?
I don't think they can do that.
You can't just have a guy call another guy on the phone? They got phones.
Well, sure. I guess you could do that, but not like formally.
I guess. I don't know. I'm just sort of thinking ahead here, right? Because this is going to be a big part of the franchise.
I don't know if I want to let Celebrini just like he's the one who gets to decide.
He doesn't get to decide, but you might want to hear what he says.
No.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know that.
I'm trying to go outside the box here.
Sure. I don't know that he gets to have that much say in it. But that's also, you'd be going to be picking a coach that's going to be a good fit for him, right?
Yeah, you have to.
Which is why you're not going to pick Craig Berube. Because it's not,
right. It's
not a good idea. Like, I just don't think that's a good idea. You're not going to bring in Tortorella, right?
Dude, I just got a text. The Sharks announced they hired John Tortorella.
I mean, a name that I saw put out there, dude, that, you know, I just don't think is a good fit at all. And he will get fired in 2 years, which is what happens everywhere he goes, is Gerard Gallant.
Yeah.
Right? Like, his teams play really well the first year, and they go to the playoffs, and he gets completely exposed as being a bad tactical coach, and then the second year he gets fired.
Yeah. That's what happened to the Rangers, too.
That's not in the plans either. Okay, let me throw another one out there, dude. If the Leafs fire Keefe, is he on the Sharks list? How much of that is his fault?
I think a good part of that's his fault. I wouldn't want to touch him. That whole franchise is like poison right now.
Sure.
I mean, I wouldn't want Sheldon Keefe right now.
So Elliot Friedman on his podcast basically said if the Leafs fire Keefe, they're making whoever gets him next is gonna have the last laugh. That's basically that's Friedman's take on this.
All right. Interesting. Okay.
That he thinks that if they walk away from Keith and not some of the players who are the problem, that they're going to really regret it.
You mean like the guy who was coasting through the neutral zone, his Pasternak just blew by him to score the OT winner?
Sure. The Vegas bet in the balance.
Dude, that was Marner. He was just standing there.
So I asked you earlier today if you would trade the 14th pick for Mitch Marner, and you responded within half a second, no, all capitals.
I mean, after seeing that play, I don't want that guy.
Sure.
Not anywhere.
I guess this was my thought with the 14th pick, dude, if the Sharks got Celebrini, is can you turn that pick into a player that can actually help this team now? There are teams out there that have no first-round pick this year, right? And, you know, I mean, there's many, but there's a couple that I identified, right? Tampa Bay, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the Washington Capitals, who I think have no picks in the first three rounds. And that team is balls, right? They made the playoffs, but come on, dude.
They got worked in the first round.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
So if you're them and you're like, well, all those teams are up against the cap. They have no cap space.
Yeah.
So if you're them, okay, if you're the Flyers, and the Sharks called you up and said, okay, we'll give you the 14th pick for Travis Konechny. Do you do it? Do you trade the 14th pick for Dylan Strome, who has about four more years on his contract? Sharks can take that cap hit. It's an interesting thought, dude.
It's an interesting thought. I'm going to have to think about it. My knee-jerk reaction is it's too soon.
Okay.
We don't even have these guys on the roster yet. They might not be good for 2 or 3 years. So we're paying some guy for 4 years. It's the worst year of his deal because he's the oldest. I don't know what that's really going to get. Mm-hmm. I think we wait until the Sharks get the 14th pick in 2 years and then trade that number 14 pick.
Right.
And jumpstart the rebuild and like put it into the, you know, throw the thing into the next gear. I think it's too early to try and get a good veteran guy. We already got one of those. We got, you know, Logan Couture, as you said last time.
It'll be, I it'll just be an interesting thing to see how they play it.
Yeah. 'Cause
I do think that's an option.
Although it certainly seems like they're in the pick hoarding mode at the moment.
That's right. And maybe they should be. But also, I think they can... They're going to have the luxury with their cap space to be opportunists, right? And like you said, well, actually, like teams should be giving us picks for taking their crappy cap hits, right?
Yeah.
And we could see them do that too. I just wonder if the philosophy is going to change a little bit more towards winning and less towards tanking if both these boys are on the team.
I think you got to see how they're going to be, right? You got to see if they're going to be mature and productive NHL players in year one, in year two, in year three. Is it going to be Patrick Stefan again?
Oh, dude, how dare you? What are you doing even saying that?
But, I mean, it does happen, right? And these are young players. They're young, young, young men, right?
Sure.
Coming into a place that has even more scrutiny. They're going to have millions of dollars. We see it in plenty of other sports. Sometimes these guys don't respond so great to these kinds of new stressors, right? I'm hoping that they react exactly the way that we want them to, is they're going to just take their game to the next level and they're going to carry the Sharks to a new era. But I think you got to wait and see a little bit. You got to see them in the unis for a year before you make that call. We just don't know how these guys are going to react.
Right. I guess... I think it just, yeah, if they're going to bring them in, I think the types of players they were going to get in the offseason are just different. It's not, we're not going to be going the Kyle Burrows route.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to need to bring in a couple of real players. You know, to make this a better experience. Because I think if these two guys are on the team and they're, I mean, if the Blackhawks had had Bedard the whole year, they probably wouldn't have been the second slot, right? They might have been fourth or fifth,
yeah,
right? But they weren't going to be the second worst, right? So, I mean, just like they're probably, it's good for them that they're going to add another good young player, but I think they're trying to surround him so that he's not living in this pit of misery,
yeah,
for 3 years.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
The Sharks need to try to create an environment where it's not a holy hell embarrassment like it was this year.
Yeah.
That can't be like that if the boys are here. Can't.
Yeah, well, we're going to see what's going to happen, dude. The whole franchise is taking a turn as of this afternoon. So it's very exciting. It's finally a piece of positive good news for Sharks fans.
Yeah.
Glad we were here to witness it, dude.
Cal Clutterbuck, 5 years, $22 million.
Go Sharks.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.